In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, let me tell you, it ain't as they say it is. Wasn't it the apple that caused all this mess in this turmoil and the fall of man in the first place? Well, actually, it wasn't the apple. It was a fig, but let's not go there. So the apple really doesn't have much to do with keeping the doctor away. Sorry to rain on your parade. But there are many lifestyles as far as physical health which can keep your visits to the physician or the doctor minimal, like eating right and exercising and watching the carbs, and that too is easier said than done. Now, if this, we go through so many measures to minimize seeing our physical physician or doctor, who heals and at times tries his or her best, at times heals with medicine, right? They prescribe us medicine. Well, how much more the spiritual physician, the spiritual doctor who heals at all times according to his perfect timing and to his perfect will and without medicine? And that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says, "The healthy have no need for a physician." Amen. You go to a doctor's reception or you go to a hospital and you see people that are there, the patients, especially the patients, waiting to be checked and examined by a physician, and you ask those patients, "How are you?" You won't hear a response. "I'm very well, thank you. Couldn't be any healthier." Well, you say, "Well, what are you doing here?" So the healthy have no need for a physician, according to Christ our Lord. But those who have become very ill, yes, I know, don't jump the gun. Yes, he's talking spiritually because he continues to say, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners," the spiritually ill. And as the physical practitioner or physician or doctor gives his final evaluation, and let's call it judgment because he's making a judgment, he's making an evaluation, so to the spiritual physician, praise be to his name, but now he doesn't need medicine. He doesn't prescribe us a physical medicine. Actually, the only spiritual medicine that this spiritual physician prescribes is his all-sanctifying body and blood, the Holy Eucharist. Right? So as the physical physician gives his final judgment evaluation, so too the spiritual physician, and without x-rays as we examined and we ascertained last episode, Christ doesn't need MRI exams and results and x-ray results. No, he knows, praise be to his name. And just as we can avoid being evaluated, having to be evaluated or judged by a physical doctor, again, by eating the suggested food, watching our diet, and let's give it a benefit of the doubt, that apple a day, our, you know, what we intake in our body, we can avoid seeing a doctor and being evaluated and judged. So too, we can avoid the future righteous judgment of the spiritual doctor, Jesus Christ our Lord, by doing something that is instructed in the scriptures. So hold on to your hats. Hold on to your seats. We're going to go on an amazing ride. Did you know that we can avoid the future judgment? Now, before I go and read the verse, you know, think about it. Maybe even speak to yourself. It's okay. Did you know, does the scripture teach that we can avoid the future final judgment? Well, yes. St. Paul, in his 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, writes, "For if we would judge ourselves," we're going to elaborate on that, "if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So what is he talking about? If we judge ourselves, now there's your watching what you eat and your carbs and your exercise, right? To avoid the physical physician, to avoid having to get an evaluation or a judgment on your health. We can also avoid that final, future, eternal judgment of the physical physician, Jesus Christ. According to the scriptures, "For if you would judge ourselves," or yourself, judge yourself, "we would not be judged." St. John Chrysostom comments on this, and he writes, "Paul does not say if we punish ourselves." Because when we want to punish ourselves, we're a little lenient and we're a little compromising, right? So he's not talking about punishing ourselves, but only if we were prepared to recognize our offenses, to judge ourselves truly, to condemn our own wrongdoing, then we should be rid of the punishment both in this world and in the next. He goes on to say, "For the one who condemns himself by judging himself or herself appeases God, pleases God in two ways," St. John Chrysostom comments. "First, by acknowledging his sin, and second, by being more careful in the future." So when you examine yourself and you correct yourself and you overcome that weakness, that sin, that evil desire, by examining yourself, by judging yourself first, and you overcome and you become victorious through your repentance, you're not going to be judged because you've repented, you have overcome. But the question is, how do we judge ourselves? How do I begin to judge myself? How do I evaluate myself? Well, Jesus gives us the starting point. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. "The plank in your own eye, take out the plank," and I say, I dare to add to Christ's words, but just to emphasize, take out the Eiffel Tower from our own eyes first. Concentrating on ourselves first rather than on others. Before passing judgment and making a comment, judge ourselves, make a comment on ourselves. Take out that plank from our own eyes. So where do we start? Let's look at another verse similar with its instruction about no judgment pertaining to the law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, St. Paul writes, "But the fruits of the Spirit are love," nothing about apples there. These are spiritual fruits. "Love, joy, peace, patience, sweetness, goodness, faith, humility, endurance. The law is not set against these things." There is no law against goodness. It's goodness. And the greatest role model is our Lord Jesus Christ, his goodness, his humility, his faith. So begin with that. There is no law. With the fruits of the Spirit, examine, judge yourself, evaluate yourself. Do I possess these fruits of the Spirit? And we're not going to go through all of them, but sit down and have a look at each one of them. Do I possess them? If I possess them genuinely, according to God's perfect standards, according to God's tick of approval, not man's, then there is no law, there is no judgment. No law, which means that the soul which has acquired the gifts of the Holy Spirit needs no further admonishment. You know, the judgment will be to admonish. The judgment will be to pass that final decision of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do acquire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, love, there is no need for admonishment because we love genuinely. We love wholeheartedly. We love unconditionally. We love according to God's standards. Now, I know that the law that St. Paul is talking about is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant law. But we can relate this to the new law and the new covenant according to the Blessed Theophylact, who writes, in this sense, he adds, the soul has become loftier than a naturally swift horse which needs no whip. That is, the soul has caused the body to be her co-worker and not her opponent. So you're taming the body through the soul, the spirit, the spiritual desires, the spiritual fruits, the spiritual yearning for God's righteousness, beloved. So beginning with the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, obviously, looking at love, love for God, love for others, love for yourself. You must have love for yourself. We must have respect for ourselves, beloved, because when we respect ourselves, then we have that value and we then don't take ourselves to places where the body and the soul and the spirit and our title of sonship of God is not worthy to be. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you, you know, here's where you can judge yourself. If you love me, well, then judge yourself truthfully and genuinely and see how much that you love me and how we do that. Fulfill my commandments. If you love me, you'll fulfill my commandments. Now, there is a judging point. This is where we can examine, very important. Are we fulfilling Christ's commandments? And I'm going to give you a commandment for all of us, and that's going to ruffle our feathers. Are we fulfilling Christ's commandments according to his standards, which are recorded in the Holy Scriptures and have been practiced in the frame and the life of the church? If we are not fulfilling Christ's commandments, then how can we say we love Christ? We will dare to say that. We may justify it. Well, you know, just because I don't doesn't mean I don't love. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what it means to you and to others, but to Christ, this is set very, very clear. If you love me, you fulfill my commandments. Not my commandment, those that you want, those that you wish, those that are befitting to your lifestyle and your joy and your comfort. No. Fulfill my commandments. Here is a test. Here is a test of judgment, beloved. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. Now, let me tell you, I had Bible studies and I've preached about this. And when we speak about this, people's faces are frowned. They look down not so much anger, but a disagreement. Like those who are watching this episode on YouTube, it's like, you know, there's a bit of a shake of the head, like, no. Well, let me tell you, if you shake your head, if we're shaking our heads to ourselves or to others, we're shaking our heads to Christ. So let's not dare say we love Christ. So Christ said, if you love me, you will fulfill my commandments. One of Christ's commandments is that you love one another. Amen to that. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, if you forgive those who have sinned against you, and we pray this, you will be forgiven. Your Father in heaven will forgive your sins that have committed against God. If you do not forgive the sins of those who have transgressed and sinned against you, then your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. So don't dare to stand before the Lord, at the altar of the Lord, before the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Qurbana, the angels, the throne of God, and say, forgive our debts as we forgave our debtors. No, if we listen intently, we will hear that voice saying, no, you haven't forgotten your debtor. No. So there it is. If you forgive others their sins they have committed against you, your Father will forgive your sins. Now, if that ruffled your feathers, good. I'm glad. Praise be to the Lord. I'm glad. But I hope that that ruffling of the feathers, that shaking or rocking of the foundation will cause us to groom our feathers even more and build the church upon the foundation of Christ, who is the rock. And we do begin to examine and judge ourselves so that we avoid that future judgments, according to 1 Corinthians 11. Patience. The fruits of the Spirit's patience, and there's no law against the patience. There will be no judgment against patience. Patience in tribulations, beloved. Patience with one another. Patience with God's timing, plan, and method, because they are perfect. Judge yourself. Judge for yourself. What are our reactions when we suffer for Christ for any reason? What is my reaction? Cussing on social media? Is that what Christ has commanded us to do? That if you suffer, as they say in Assyrian, it's an idiomatic term, close your eyes and open your mouth and just let it come out of your mouth. Well, that's not what Christ has taught us. Against that, there is judgment. But when we continue to be patient in suffering for Jesus Christ for any reason, and we overcome and we are victorious through Christ who strengthens us, then there will be no judgment against that. Look at Lazarus, the wounded, the physically wounded, who was at the door of the rich man, at the gate of the rich man, physically wounded. Received evil in his life, as Abraham instructs the rich man. Lazarus received evil. Lazarus was called to suffer for Jesus Christ, which everyone is, and Lazarus accepted it. You may have been called to wealth, but the reason why you were called to wealth was to help Lazarus, but you didn't. So you bust in fame and wealth and richness. Now you have to suffer. Because Lazarus was patient and obedient and accepting the physical suffering that he received, the evil things in his life. Yet his patience, again, got him to the bosom of Abraham at the meet and right time, according to God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Hence, Lazarus didn't get involved in the conversation. There was no need for Lazarus to give an account. He suffered for, according to God's will, according to God's plan. But the rich man who had to give an account because he wasn't generous with his wealth, and he continued to avoid and to look over and to not take notice of Lazarus. He had to give an answer. There was judgment, but Lazarus didn't face judgment. He attained eternal bliss. So let's judge our patience according to the fruits of the Spirit. Will we be judged according for our impatience? Will I stand before the Lord and have to give an account for my impatience? Or will I hear that amazing, beautiful voice? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were patient. There is no need for me to judge you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must remind ourselves, for we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that each man will be paid in his body anything that was done by him, whether good or evil. So the good will not need to give an account of the goodness. They will receive that eternal bliss. And those who are evil will have to give an account. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render," he pays or rewards or judges, "unto every man according to his deed." Which deeds? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "Those things," or those deeds, "which God had from the first prepared that we should walk in them." Walk in those deeds. Examine our deeds. Examine the fruits of the Spirit and see if we possess them. Examine the deeds of the flesh and see if they are corrupting us, beloved. Because if they are, then there is judgment. But according to 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 11, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, purge ourselves, examine ourselves, x-ray ourselves through the Holy Scriptures, and then correct all those wrongs and evil and corruption, we would not be judged when the Lord returns. And what do we judge ourselves? Let's start at judging ourselves in accordance to one verse in the Scriptures. To close off, Luke chapter 6, verse 37. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So, judge yourself and see, if I am judging others, if I am, then I will have to face judgment. Judge yourself and see if I'm living in the Word of God, I'm living in the Scriptures, I'm living in Christ, and He is living in me. Judge and see if I'm quick to condemn people to hell or quick to invite people and see people off to heaven. That's not ours, beloved. That's Christ's. Judge and see, feather ruffling again, judge and see if I have, am trying to, I'm going to start on the way of forgiving others so that when the Lord returns, I have already been forgiven because I have been forgiving, so that when the Lord returns and that I have judged myself and I have corrected my ways with the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians, again, beloved, this is not my own words, 1 Corinthians 11, 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged by that amazing righteous judge, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise and glory be to his name, now and at all times and forever. Amen."
Enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.